Well, again, to say to you that Jesus anticipated exactly who would be here. And he's just as excited to see you as if you were 10,000. That's just who he is. He died if there had just been one of us, right? And so there's this word he gave me. Lord, so good. I thought, Lord, so maybe I should change this word since there's only three of us. And he said, I didn't give you the word telling you that this is for 50. He said, I gave you the word knowing who'd be three of us. So I'm being taught by Christ always. So this is what it says in Hebrews 10. For the law, since it was only a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices year by year, which they offer continually, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have erased, or would they not have ceased to be offered? Because the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had a consciousness of sins. So in the Old Testament, when they would offer the sacrifices, they all knew they'd be offered again the next year. So it wasn't just a good thing that it covered their sin for the last year, but they knew that the next year they'd have to go through this again. So it was also a reminder to them that they of their sins. But because Christ's sacrifice of himself was perfect, Jesus said from the cross, it is perfect. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, because he included us into him, and our acceptance with God is in Christ. We have his acceptance. We have the Father delights in us in him. We're one with him. And so we've drawn near because we're in him, and he lives near. And so because of that perfect sacrifice, the perfect offering of his very life, we can be free from a consciousness of sins. Now, having said that, this is from Romans chapter 6. So there's a place in Romans, I'll start this way, because it'll make it make more sense. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. And the law came in that the transgressions might increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. In other words, one of the things he's saying is, no matter how bad your sin is, no matter how much sin there is, grace abounds more. Grace is bigger than our sin. And so that's why he says in the very first verse of chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace might increase? In other words, since grace covers sin, takes care of sin, since grace, the grace of God in Christ took away sin, actually. So he says, though, therefore, is it okay just to keep sinning? Because you know grace has got it. Grace is going to abound more. My acceptance in Christ before God is not negotiable. Sin can't change that. Nothing I do can change that. My acceptance before God is because I'm in Christ. And unless Christ becomes unacceptable before God the Father, I can't be unacceptable, regardless of what I do. You go, well, then that gives me permission to go sin. That's why Paul says, for God forbid. Don't you know that you were, when you were baptized into Christ, you died to sin? The whole point of Jesus coming is to set us free from the self-destructive reality of sin. Now, when I say that, like sinning, like things like greed or lust or dishonesty, well, how about the sin of fear, the sin of worry? All those things are so self-destructive, aren't they? The sin of anger, the sin of resentment, the sin of unforgiveness, the sin of bitterness, the sin of rejecting myself, the sin of self-hatred, the sin of comparing myself to others, the sin of being jealous, the sin of wishing I were someone else. All those are sin. And he came to set me free from that by placing me into Christ so that not only would I have his acceptance before the Father, have his nearness before the Father, I would also have his identity. Scripture says, I have his nature, for we've become the righteousness of God in Christ. And so, when you get down to verse 9 and 10 and 11, two of the best verses in all the New Testament, stunning truth. So hear what he says it again, because he's telling us this story in Romans 6. Oh, by the way, you were in Christ at the cross, the old self, and that old self was crucified. His crucifixion was your crucifixion. When he was buried, the old self was buried. And when he rose up from the dead, a whole new self, one with Christ. That's what makes you a new self. Because you have all of his goodness, all of his acceptance before God. You have his nature, his capacity, his ability. He says that you're now a new self, risen with Christ. And so I'm as dead to sin as he is. Because his death to sin was my death to sin. I'm as alive to God as he is. That's what it says in verse 10 and 11. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he's living, Jesus, he's living to God. Even so, because you were placed in him, consider yourselves dead to sin and living to God in Christ Jesus. His walk with God is my walk with God. His acceptance before God is my acceptance before God. You with me? So then he goes on, he says this. This is in verse 14. Great scripture, great verse. For sin shall no longer be master over you. For you are no longer under the law, but you're under grace. For sin shall not be master over you. For you are no longer under law, but under grace. So what does that mean? That means that I don't have to sin. See, the law is me doing my best for God. Me being bent towards me, trying my hardest. But I'm no longer under that. I'm no longer under the law, trying my best, because the law was never given to me to keep. It was given to me to break, to show me my need for grace, to show me my need for Jesus, to show me my need for a Savior, not just from hell, but a Savior from sin's power. And so, in Christ, his death to sin's my death to sin, his living to God's my living to God, and so when I'm tempted, I've been set free from its ability to master me. For sin shall no longer master you, for you are no longer under the law, but under grace. And so when I get tempted, whatever those thoughts were, to say something that's not right, to think something that's not right, to behave in a way that's not right, in that moment I can thank Jesus that I'm in him by grace. And that by grace, I'm dead to that sin. And by grace, he's my victory. To manifest, to live out that victory over that sin. Now, do I have to say all those words? No. In the moment I get tempted, I just thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace over this sin. You say, yeah, but can we still sin? And when we do, we blow it. Yep. Yeah, you can sin. You can choose to let sin master in that moment. And when you do, man, the guilt's so terrible, isn't it? I mean, somebody can even say, well, guilt is a good thing because it makes you feel bad about your sin. No, guilt's not what God's after. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. See, because grace, what does it say earlier I read? Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. My acceptance before God isn't forfeited because I sinned. My position before God isn't changed because of sin. His delight in me. Is his heart grieved when I sin? Yes, because I'm missing out on all the good stuff he has for me. But he doesn't walk me walking around with a consciousness of sin. And if you walk around in guilt, that's a consciousness of sin. So in other words, sin, the power of sin, no longer is master over me. Because when I get tempted, I can just thank Jesus in that moment for his victory, and he will manifest that victory in me. And when I blow it, I can thank him that sin still is no master over me. Because where grace sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. I'm already forgiven in Christ. He said, well, then I'll just go out and sin a lot. No, why would you do that? Why would you do that when you can experience life and life more abundant? God's come to set you free from a consciousness of sin. So I don't have to walk around being conscious of sin. Oh, this is just what I do, and I'm afraid I'll do it again or think it again. Nonsense. Christ is your victory, and it's grace. He's your victory by grace. It's a free gift. And if you blow it, you don't have to walk around in guilt or a false sense of separation. He forgave that sin before you ever committed it. He forgave that sin 2,000 years ago. And you can thank him for the grace of forgiveness and keep walking and not walk around in a consciousness of sin. Because that's how the enemy destroys us. Because we have a consciousness of sin even after we've blown it. We have this consciousness of sin. Oh, I'm so terrible. I blew it. Okay, yeah, yeah. You've become bent towards yourself again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.